We welcome you to another live edition of the Sports Box, brought to you by our sponsor, Showcase Sports in Hamilton. Showcase Sports for the elite athlete. And by our friends over at CrowdPlay. Download the free CrowdPlay app today and check them out at www.crowdplayapp.com for details. Ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
Hey everybody, welcome to Cage My IQ. I am your host, D-Bake, joined with me by my co-host, Jim DeLillo. And welcome to us, one championship atomweight contender, Elise Anderson. How's it going, Elise? Are you there, Elise? I can cut this out. So
yeah, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah. Are you there?
Yeah. Yes, we're there.
Sorry, I think it was my internet or something.
No, it's all good. I can cut this out anyway, this portion out. How are you doing today, Elise?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Doing pretty good. As you know, you're going to be competing in the Atomweight Grand Prix next month. How do you feel about being the only U.S. fighter in the tournament?
I'm excited about it mostly just because I feel like it's such a good opportunity. And especially being the only American to be there, I just feel like super honored and excited to represent here and just hopefully perform well.
Yeah, to go away from that for just a bit and start from early on, my first question for you is, how was life like growing up in Michigan?
It was good. You know, I grew up playing soccer and doing karate, so I didn't like grow up that much around mixed martial arts, but definitely still martial arts. My dad owned a karate school when I was born, so I got to be around that and see his success through karate. And then I started doing jiu-jitsu to get in shape for soccer when I was like 14, 15, because I was going to play college soccer. Well, I did for 2 years. And so I picked up jiu-jitsu, and that turned into kickboxing and something came up on my computer. There we go. And then I just took an amateur fight, and one fight turned into six amateur fights, and then when I was in college, decided I wanted to take it farther and go pro. So.
Nice.
How did you pass time as a teenager? Like, what did you like to do as a teenager?
I grew up riding dirt bikes. So, like, that's what I always did when I didn't have a soccer tournament on the weekend. I went to the racetrack with my neighbors. He's actually a motocross racer, so his family was always really strict on him and took it very seriously, and I was just kind of that neighbor girl that tagged along to watch him. And but it was really cool because I got to experience like riding dirt bikes and quads and all the crazy extreme sports stuff. And once I started fighting, like, dirt bikes became like my outlet away from the fighting scene, which it still is. It's just harder now that I'm living in Florida.
Do you find it ironic that you used MMA to get ready for soccer, but here you are now doing MMA as a living?
Yeah, I definitely, like, if you told me like my senior year of high school when I had my first amateur fight that I would have this as a profession, I would have thought you guys were crazy, just because I like promised my mom it was one and done. And then I told her after I won my fight that I just wanted to just do it one more time. And then I promised her when I lost, I was done. I was going to quit when I lost. But then I lost in like 2018. And they were really supportive and just encouraged me to, you know, not give up on my dreams and just keep pushing forward and developing. And that's what I did. And I went on to get 2 more wins after that loss, and just am looking to continue that winning streak.
Yeah. I heard that you got certified as an EMT. Do you plan on continuing to be one in if you succeed in one championship? Or is that something that you might put on the back burner, then come back to after you're done fighting?
Definitely probably come back to, just because I'm so focused on not having any distractions right now, and working part-time. I actually was working on the COVID unit back in Michigan because I was an EMT for 5 years on like a cardiac floor, but then once COVID hit, they turned our whole unit into the COVID unit. So that was just exhausting, especially I worked night. So it was 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And it was so taxing on my body to stay up all night and then try to get up and train while the rest of the world's awake and stuff. But I learned so much, like through just like meeting so many people and being able to help people was rewarding. But the COVID unit is, and I respect all my friends that are still working there because it's so bad in Michigan right now. But I just feel like this is my time to focus on my dreams. And eventually I want to go back to school to be like a physician's assistant and finish like my degree and everything. But for right now, I'm just focusing on fighting.
You did only 3 amateur fights. What do you think caught Invictus' eye, and what have you worked on to keep improving your game?
Well, I had 6 amateur fights, but I think that's a tough question. No one's ever asked that, so that's a good question. I think just that, also I came from a soccer background. I think they like appreciated that I was a hard worker and I put like everything I had into fighting. So, I also like had beaten all the amateur 105ers after 5 amateur fights. So my 6th amateur fight, I went up to 115 and won an amateur title at 115. And then I had 3 pro fights that were outside of Invicta before I signed as a professional. And I had like 2 finishes and 1 decision. So I think they also like not that many 105ers are finishers. So I think they appreciate that.
Yeah. When did you get contacted by one? And then part 2 of this is, what do you expect from the Adam Rate group in the Grand Prix?
I was actually contacted by one late last year. And because of COVID and stuff, I was interested in the hospital. Like, I just knew that I couldn't put everything I had into training. And also, like, the hospital I worked at would grant me, like, 6 weeks off for my fight camps, like, a leave of absence, which I just, like, took off the schedule for 6 weeks. But then when COVID hit, we were, like, so short-staffed, I didn't think I could get approved for time off, especially like with the tournament and everything. So I said no in like October of last year, and then I turned it down again in January of this year. And then finally, like, my management is Brian Butler with Sucker Punch. He worked really hard on like just making it work so that I could be a fighter full time and just focus on this. So the second he told me that I could quit my job to just be a fighter, I was like instantly interested in one, and obviously the tournament.
Nice.
I heard that you were working with Perfect Sports. How did that come about, and are you still with them now?
Yes, I'm still with them, and my manager, like Sucker Punch, got that set up. They're a supplement company that has like actually helped me put on a lot of weight, and because I used to walk around like close to 105 and didn't have to cut that much. But since I started working with them, and they also like provide like nutritionists and stuff, Like Brian's really good at making sure we have like all the game, all the pieces in the game plan come together. So I'm super happy to be with Sucker Punch and Perfect Sports, because, you know, like the supplements with the hard training just help a ton. And that's how I got that sponsor.
My last question before I pass it off to my co-host, Jim, when your career is over, what do you want to be defined by?
These are tough questions. Can you like explain it like a little more?
Yeah. How do you want your career to be defined in MMA? Like, do you want to be known for being tough, being a winner, like somebody that doesn't want to back down from a fight?
I would say I just, well, I need to think about it. Yeah, I definitely don't want to be known as a loser. So, like, definitely someone that wins fights, but also, like, that's not a boring fighter. Like, I want to be, like, an atom weight that's known for, like, finishing fights and being exciting to watch. Like, I want people to look forward every time that I step in the cage to watching me fight and perform. Like, one of my wins is the flying triangle, and, like, it's not seen all the time. So, like, I just like tricky moves and stuff like that. So, just being exciting and kind of different, not your average fighter, is what I would like people to know me by.
Yeah. I think going from, you know, a less boring fighter and going from an active fighter, like you said, you finished, like you said, with submissions on the top, knockouts, like you're a finisher. What are some of the things that you kind of focused on between your last fight and your upcoming fight? So I know that, you know, it's been a while.
I would say like improving position and not like settling, because I feel like in a lot of my fights I get stuck like in top, but like a closed guard. So, which can be boring if you like don't pass guard. So I've just been working on like being more active from top position and, you know, more submissions and escapes to like break the closed guard, especially like 105ers and smaller girls like to play like that rubber or high guard. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like threatening to submissions, but especially at my new camp, we've been working on like what to do next when girls go to that. So I feel more comfortable striking from there.
Okay.
So that's like a big thing I've been working on from last fight to this fight.
Okay. Now, earlier you said that you went up to 115, won the title there. How do you feel about the weight class limits in one compared to Invicta, where it was 105 for atom weight, where one is now 115?
I like it because they cut weight like so drastically. The only thing, like, because I don't have to cut weight, like I just don't want my mind to get stuck that I don't have to like diet still, and like I still need to like be disciplined to put the right foods in my body, because it might not be about making 105, but like I still want to be like fueled properly to perform. And so even though like I could probably eat whatever I want and make 115, I just want to make sure that I'm eating the right foods and still making the weight limit.
Okay, I get it. What about your upcoming, like, what do you think about your upcoming fight with Itsuki Harada?
I'm actually glad that I got her for, like, the first pick, because I know she's, like, a big favorite over there in Japan, and she's been with one, so a lot of the fans are going to be behind her in this, and I just think she hasn't fought maybe someone with as much experience. And I think it'll be like a real test for her. So I'm happy that I got her to kind of prove myself that I belong with these girls and show all the fans over there at one that, you know, I'm not just a random American, like that they picked to be in the tournament, and that I have like a good chance and contender for the title.
Yeah, that they're bringing in a killer, right? Not just, you know, just anybody. Yeah. Does training change because it's a Grand Prix format? And like your opponent is never like kind of predict it, or is it like just basic training going in practicing on everything like a Swiss Army knife?
Well, like One thing that we've been working on at this camp is my range, because I'm taller than everyone in the tournament, so it doesn't really matter. And that aspect who they pair me up against is that I'm always going to have the reach advantage. So we've been working a lot with that. I definitely at first, before like the first matchup, thought I'd be going against a striker. So I was like, now that I know she's not like just a straight striker, obviously been working like different judo defenses, different like stuff, like she likes to come more on stuff like that. So like fine tuning my escapes in like that aspect of the training camp. But I like that it's not all in one night type of tournament.
Yeah.
Obviously like the next round I'll get to like prepare again for whoever wins on the other side of the bracket.
Yeah, gives you a more fair advantage. What about the, are there any specific adjustments that you're making for the long flight to Singapore and the time difference? I know you're on the East Coast, like Dan and myself. Are you working on making differences for that time difference?
Not yet, just because my camp and I haven't really discussed like when we're going to leave exactly. But I feel like the closer we get, the more we'll talk about like making the adjustments to get on their time schedule. But I feel like it's kind of like working nights at the hospital.
Yeah.
Like, for 5 years, I switched from staying up all night to like being like awake during the day. So I don't think it'll be that hard for me, because I've had friends that like came back from China and complained for weeks about being jet lagged. And I'm like, that's what I do like every single week. I go from days to nights. So I almost feel like it's kind of like that.
Yeah, you're used to it.
Yeah.
Nice. My last question. I noticed on your Instagram, you have a lot of pictures with Felice Herrig. There's a picture with Rose. Who are some of the fighters that you look up to and pay attention the most to kind of hone your craft?
Well, like the first like fighter that I ever got, like that was famous, like that I got experience staying with, was like Ronda Rousey when I was just an amateur.
Okay.
And then like whenever I see like a young athlete and stuff, I always just try to think like how she was to me. And she, like, I just remember being like, oh my gosh, like there's Ronda. And when she would talk to me, like everything she say would just like, I would like soak it in like a sponge, just because like she was the champ. And like I was there when she was training for fights, and even like the one with Holly when she lost the belt. And like she was just very humble. And I saw that, it was the first time I saw that somebody wasn't what they like put out to be on social media and TV. And she was actually like super humble. And so I always try to be like her in that aspect. But when it comes to training and stuff, like I did stay with Felice a lot, and she definitely showed me what like it takes to be disciplined, because she's super disciplined when it comes to training and diet and being focused. But I've got to learn so much just from being around like high level UFC fighters and being involved in like their camps. Like last year I went out to Vegas when Weili Zhang fought Joanna and won the belt. So just getting to experience like the highest level fighters, like their camps and their weight cuts, it's been so motivating for me. It used to be motivating for me to get into the UFC, but now with this opportunity, it's just motivating for me to train hard and, you know, become the one champion.
Nice. I just have one question to add to that. What's a typical schedule like for your training? Do you train like a couple times a day, like 7 days a week, or is it like a set schedule?
Sorry, my dog's like playing with toys in the background. I can just hear him. It's a distraction. So I train every day, like Monday through Saturday. And sometimes it's twice a day, but usually it's like three times a week. It's twice a day because I go back for strength and conditioning. But usually it's like 11 to 1:30, and which we're going to start adding more like one-on-one sessions. Or yeah, I shouldn't even say 11, because Like this week, he's had me there like at 10 just to drill until 11. And then, so sometimes I'm there from 10 to 1:30, which I don't mind like getting it all out of the way and then having the whole rest of the night to relax. But yeah, then I'll probably, as, oh my gosh, he's sorry. He's
That's good.
And yeah, I'll probably start like at least like going back to the gym to drill and like the night, so I don't go back for strength and conditioning, just because I really want to fine tune everything for this fight.
Is any other fighter going to come with you to help you train while you're there in Singapore, or is it just going to be you and your crew that you work with now?
Well, right now with like the COVID rules, they're only letting one corner come, but like one coach. So I'm hoping they, because they said it's always changing. So I'm really hoping that it will change to maybe like at least two people, because then it just would be easier. But for right now, I guess it's just me and a coach that plan on going.
Okay,
that's cool. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I want to thank you so much for coming on with us. We're definitely gonna root for you in the Atomweight Grand Prix, and we hope you win it all.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
No problem.
Yep. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your night.
Thanks.
All right, safe travels to Singapore.
Yep.
Thank you.
Have a nice night. Wow, I can't wait to watch her next month in the Grand Prix. What do you think, Jim?
Yeah, man, she's my pick. Maybe I'm a homer because she's an American and she's the only American going into it. But like she said, she's got height and range over all these girls over in one. And going up a weight class and not having to be depleted with a weight cut, like an extreme weight cut, is great in her advantage. I was really curious about the, you know, she's listed at 105. So I was really curious to see that if those 10 pounds could be clunky, or like if it could hold somebody back, like we've seen in the UFC or Invicta. I'm also kind of intrigued about her training partners. You know, Felice Herrig is a beast. Ronda, obviously a champion, you know, did a seminar with Rose, Wei Li Zhang. These aren't names that you just like throw out there. So she's had a hell of a corner and a bunch of experience and mentors. So I'm very intrigued by her fight with one, and also in her career. I'm looking forward to following her throughout this journey. And, you commend her on what she did with the COVID unit over in Michigan. So someone with a heart like that and somebody who, you know, loves the fight game as much as she does, I'm super stoked and excited to see her, you know, take that next step.
Yeah, and being a big soccer fan, playing soccer all my life, it was great to hear that she actually – how she came up with the MMA was to get ready for soccer and now do 180. And now she's actually fighting for a living because of MMA.
I thought you were going to ask like 40 more soccer questions. Like as soon as that happened, I'm like, oh man, I'm out of water. I'm deep waters right now because I'm new to the whole love of soccer. So I was like, oh, you're a college athlete. She's a college soccer player as well. I was very curious to see where we were going with that, but you kept it on course.
Yep. I want to thank everybody for watching. You can follow Elise Anderson at Elise Anderson 21. And then you can follow all of our stuff on YouTube and everything. We're Cage My IQ. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitch. And then you can follow our affiliate, The Sports Box, right there on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to their YouTube channel. Once again, everybody keep an eye out for the Atomweight Grand Prix for one championship next month.
That should be on TNT, right? That's where you can find it.
That should be on TNT. All this month, it's on TNT. They're hoping to do it permanently. I'm hoping they do too.
Likewise.
But definitely root for Elise Anderson. Elise Anderson, she is the favorite in my mind. And then let's hope she can hold up the belt when the Grand Prix is done.
Absolutely.
But I am D-Bake. This is my co-host, Jim. Everybody have a wonderful night.
Take care.
Thank you for watching this episode of Cage My IQ on the Sports Box. Please remember to follow us on all of our social media outlets. on Facebook at Sportsbox Show, Twitter at Sportsbox Show, Instagram at The Sportsbox Show. Find us on YouTube and join Outside the Box, our Facebook sports discussion group. The Sports Box is brought to you by our sponsor, Showcase Sports in Hamilton. Showcase Sports for the elite athlete. And also our friends over at CrowdPlay. Download the free CrowdPlay app today and use promo code THEBOX at sign up for 10 free points. Thank you for joining us.